This episode is brought to you by Splash Refresher. I believe in the three beverage rotation on my desk at all times. One for caffeinating, one for hydrating, and one for fun. But Splash, they spice it up by putting the fun and hydration in one. I don't have to dread my 8 cups of water a day. I just drink Splash and like it. My flavor that I've been enjoying the most lately is the wild berry. Keep one on your desk. You'll be hydrated in no time. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger.
Betches Media presents
Ha Ha, Laugh, Funny,
Mention It All, a Bravo by Betches podcast.
We don't say that, but now we said it.
With Dylan Hafer.
Hold on, check me, bro.
And Barry Rosenfeld.
I need to start drinking alcohol. Now go to sleep, we.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the Mention It All podcast. I'm Dylan Hafer.
And I'm Barry Rosenfeld. I'm feeling good.
Welcome back. Happy Thursday.
I'm so excited that we are talking about Jersey today and Dallas, but and Jersey today because it makes me feel happy.
Yeah, we're going to talk about Jersey and Dallas, but let's say the vibe is not equal for both. That reunion, woo, we'll get to it. We also, this episode, have a very fun interview with Lala Kent later in the episode. Lala, of course, her book came out just this week. So she's talking about the book. She's talking about Vanderpump Rules, being a mom, all of that fun stuff. And to make it even better, we are currently giving away 3 copies of Lala's new book. All you have to do is subscribe to the Mention It All newsletter at betches.co/Bravo newsletter, and you will be automatically entered to win one of those 3 free copies of her book. The giveaway ends tomorrow, Friday, May 7th at 11:59 p.m. Eastern. So yeah, go to betches.co/Bravo newsletter now and enter. I mean, the newsletter is great on its own, and with the additional chance that you could win a free copy of Lala's book.
Who loves free shit? Who doesn't love free shit? You know?
Who doesn't love free shit?
I was like, we who loves free shit?
I'm like,
I love paying for stuff.
I need some of Luann's non-alcoholic rosé. I want to try it.
Honestly, it really does look great and refreshing. Like, even on like a summer day, like, I know Dylan and I have meetings sometimes at the end of the day where they're like, feel free to bring a snack, a drink, whatever. Not a really. Cocktail. We don't drink in our meetings. We don't. But on the occasion where we're allowed to, like, that would be fun. Put some fruit in it. Like, have some.
Mama needs a drink.
Sip.
Yeah, I'm curious. I'm curious where it falls on the spectrum. Like, I've never had. Obviously, I've had like sparkling grape juice, but I've never had like a non-alcoholic wine.
Right.
So I don't know. But, does it taste like? We'll see.
Yeah. But also really quick, we have to mention that you posted yesterday that Erica's house is on the market. And
yes,
you know,
$13 million.
Yeah. I noticed that too. I was like, yes, the property is big and the house is big, but 4 bedrooms, babe.
What do you want
me to do with that?
I guess maybe they took out a bedroom to put in the chapel. Maybe that's how that worked. Yeah. I was surprised. 4 bedrooms. So she has less bathrooms than Jennifer. You know, it's a beautiful home. It's not my taste at all. It's very old and stuffy on the inside, but
yeah,
you know, best of luck. She's not going to see any of that money, but best of luck getting it sold anyway. Yeah. Okay. Let's get into Jersey. This episode, of course, we have the continuing fallout from at Michelle's party, all of the women talking behind Dolores's back and then to her face about her relationship with David. And we actually do see David this episode at the Catania family birthday celebration.
That was such a beautiful like evening. And you can tell that the kids have such a good relationship with him. So does Frank. And Dolores even said, David shows up for the things that matter. You know what I mean? And like, I understand, we talked about this last week, but like, did he have to take off work and go to a cocktail party with all these people? No, Frank enjoys these people's company. So he's going to go.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting. So I'm at home right now and I was watching this with my mom last night, who is not a Housewives viewer. And I was trying to explain the complicated web of Dolores's relationships. And she was like, okay, so she's still really close with her ex. And she's like, okay, so they still sleep together. And I'm like, no. So it's interesting though, because on Jersey, it's unique because the husbands actually are like paid members of the cast. Like they sign contracts in a way that the other husbands in other cities don't. And Frank is like Dolores's counterpart for right. that. Like, mm-hmm. that's why he's on Watch What Happens Live. That's why he's like in all these group scenes. So it's like, obviously Frank and Dolores are close, but he's also literally a cast member on the show. So there's a reason why he's going to be at all Correct. Of these parties, kind of regardless of what his relationship with David or Dolores is.
Right. And not to mention, the people love Frank. We want to see him on the screen. Like, I would personally rather talk about the Watch What Happens Live husbands last night than this episode. This was so, I'm sorry. The fact that there was an episode of House Husbands of New Jersey is saying something. Everyone's like, oh my God, are they getting their own show? I would watch it, blah, blah, blah. But Andy asked them a question, like they were playing a drinking game last night. And he was like, Frank, when was the last time you slept with Dolores? And he took a sip. But I think he did that like to play with like the audience. He was
also,
like,
also, I think he's being respectful. You know, Dolores
absolutely.
Is, as we've seen, Dolores is an old fashioned kind of gal. She, you know, there are certain things where she's like, no, I'm not going to discuss that. That's my personal business. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't think she and Frank are sleeping together and haven't been for a while. But, you know, we don't need to know the last, you know, the date and time of the last time it happened. But I actually feel like she is being super reasonable about, you know, kind of her reaction to this. And in the episode when they're at Jackie's birthday thing, this wine tasting, apple picking, whatever, I think that that Dolores is being, you know, perfectly reasonable when she's saying, you know, I've made it clear how mm-hmm. I feel now. Maybe I felt differently before, but I feel this way. And personally, I don't like it that you guys are talking about this. And, you know, like Jennifer and kind of Jackie just seem like they can't quite, like they're not quite listening to her. That it's like, you don't need to keep explaining why you thought something different. It's like, she's told you, she's asked you to stop talking about it. So stop talking about it.
Right. I agree. I know that even I have gone back and said that I feel differently. Remember in the beginning, well, I kind of still feel that David's like fuckboy, whatever, but I appreciate their relationship.
Yes.
And I was never judging her on that, but I also loved when they went, she didn't feel comfortable going in the van yet, but it was also not like Dolores, like she told a little small white lie because there's also no reason to be like, I'm mad at you, but she wanted to wait to confront them in person. And she did it in a really nice way. And cause she's like, I'm sorry, Dolores is really like mature when it comes to these things.
Yeah.
And like, she handled it well. She's like, Jackie, I'm sorry. It's your birthday, so I'm going to be a good friend and say it to you. But like, that wasn't cool. And I agree with you too, where they could have been like, okay, you're right. But they kept saying, but this, but that. And it's like, oh my
God. Right. And I think, so with Jackie, Porsche. With Jackie, I think she is coming from a place of wanting to be supportive. But it's like she keeps trying to explain why she took part in this poll. And it's like, Dolores isn't like never going to forgive you. Like, she's not actually that angry. She just doesn't want it to keep being a thing. And
well, because she made a good analogy. Whether so like, if that happened with their marriage.
Yeah. You know? Like, you know, if she was taking a poll on Melissa and Joe or Jackie and Evan. Mm-hmm. And yeah, like, it's just one of those things where I think it is well within Dolores's rights to be upset about that. And so it's like, let's just stop talking about it. And then Jennifer, of course, has to do the, you know, I just feel like he should be there once for you. Like, come on. And it's like, Jennifer, please.
I was like, I know. It's always like, all right, we're done. And it's like, Jennifer
is just like that person who can't stop herself from making that one last comment. And it's like, Jennifer, my God, come on.
They all looked really cute though. I've been to where they went for this wine tasting. Not, please, I didn't participate in apple picking. We just went straight to the wine tasting, but it's really cute, really sweet. And like, I love when they do activities like this, but it was very like pleasant. There was no, even with Dolores in that conversation, there was no argument. They were very, very pleasant, but I felt bad. Obviously, Melissa couldn't attend because Joey Gorga had kidney stones passing through.
That's intense.
I know they kept saying it felt like childbirth, and I was like, oh my Lord. Oh,
no. Yeah, I obviously was sad that Melissa couldn't go on this trip. It sounds like Joe was fine. So we get more yet again this week of Melissa and Joe's, you know, back and forth about how he wants her to be at home. It's not what he, you know, signed up for, all of this stuff. at this point, it's hard for me to tell whether this is genuine or kind of put on for the cameras. But either way, it's tough to watch because it's like, Joe, shut the fuck up. Like, you sound like an asshole. Melissa's not doing anything. Like, this whole time, like, there are times on this show in the past when Melissa has really rubbed me the wrong way. And this whole situation, it's just like, she's literally not doing anything. She's just like living her life, having her plans, whatever. We haven't even really seen evidence that she's like that busy while they're filming the season. It's in the pandemic. She clearly isn't going to a ton of events and stuff. So it's like, chill out. Leave her alone, basically.
My issue with these conversations is that they're not going anywhere. Every time they have this conversation, it's the same one. So it's like, and then Joe is always like, we're done, and walks away. And also, I love when they do that in the commercial, like, we're done. He clearly meant with the conversation, not like with their marriage. And I was like, really? Like, they had to, like, that's so, like, not a cool tease to put in. But yeah. Also, with the event situation, when your season is not like in, I might be wrong about this, but it's like, how many events are you going to during the week? And then actually, yeah, I think I am wrong, because like, we go to events during the week too, and we're not even on Bravo. So I'm sure it depends.
Like, I have a feeling it's the kind of thing where some weeks she's really busy and some weeks she doesn't have much going on, and it's just unpredictable and she's not there all the time. It's weird because it was one thing a few seasons ago when it was like, okay, she's just starting with the store and like, she really is changing and the kids are like still a little younger. But now it's like, we've been in this position for like 4 or 5 years where Melissa is like working and has the store and other stuff. So it's like, why haven't you like figured this out? Like, you can't still be angry that she hasn't like changed in the last year. I don't know. It's just weird to me.
It actually looks like she's doing a great job at balancing everything.
And Joe seems like, we've seen this with other house husbands, that he seems like the textbook kind of person who thinks that financial support is the same as other kinds of support. And he's like, you know, I let her do the singing, and I, you know, I helped her with the store and like all of this stuff. And it's like, you like giving her money so she can open a store is not the same as you like being a supportive partner throughout the process. Like, there's a big difference there. And I think I just want them to like, obviously I like them a lot as a couple, and I don't think they're like in danger of not being together, but it's like, come on, can we stop with this like line of questioning?
I know, but something really exciting this, like, to be continued, where we really are going to start to meet Louis. And honestly, like, this is a Teresa we have never seen before.
Yeah.
Ever. Like, she is on another level of happiness. And like, I love hearing how everyone is talking about, but I feel like bad that she is, everyone's like pressuring because they're excited for her, but she is like, hold on a second. Like, I need to like make sure everything's fine.
I love when she's talking to Melania. When she's talking to Melania, Melania's like, you're all like, hee, hee, hee. Like, it's so...
Melania is so funny. Like, they all sound the same. They really do. But she's like, what are you guys doing?
It's funny now that Gia is out of the house for the most part, Melania has kind of become the daughter that she, like, has these kind of like adult-ish conversations with. And it's so weird thinking about that. We've been watching Melania since she was like 2 years old, and now she's like helping her mom get ready for a date and talking about how she feels about this guy. It is interesting. I have a feeling we're not actually going to like see him for very long. Next season, or next week, is the season finale. And like, I don't think he's going to be on the whole episode. So
that, can we not like, talk about that? Like, that's very upsetting. Like, are you
serious? I think it'll be like a quick little introduction, but maybe he'll be at the reunion. Who knows?
It's just wild that next week is the season finale. I feel like it started last week. No joke.
I know. It's been so quick. It's been a good season, though. I am excited for the reunion. I've heard that it is going to be dramatic. So we'll see.
It has to be, because Jackie and Teresa are absolutely fine in every single episode the past few weeks. So shit must go down at the reunion, because they're clearly not talking currently, you know?
Yeah, we'll see.
Oh, these ladies.
Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach. We have just entered spring, and while I don't love that the weather outside is still a little bit cold, you know the silver lining of that is that I have had a few more chances to wear my Quince cashmere before it gets too warm, and I just love throwing that on, whether it's by itself, a little layering moment with a t-shirt under, with a jacket over, with a bigger coat over. The cashmere is the perfect thing to just add to any outfit to make it look a little more pulled together. And the way that Quince prices their items, it doesn't feel like it has to be this wild thing that you're splurging on. It is so nice to have those pieces in your wardrobe that feel luxurious, but come at a price point that you can stomach. It's 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters, starting at just $50. They also have organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and also timeless 14-karat gold jewelry. And the best part is that all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of middlemen and passes the savings on to us. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/mention for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/mention to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/mention.
Okay, let's talk about the Dallas reunion. We got to get to it. So obviously we know that the format has been turned on its head because Carrie tested positive for COVID. So Carrie and Brandy are on their big turned on their side TV screens on the chairs.
TV's turned. I can't.
Somebody said that it looks like they're at a memorial service where like you put the photo of the person platform.
Okay. But here's the thing I don't understand about both of their setups. Guys, we do Zooms every day. They have been doing Watch What Happens Live Zooms like every single week. Do you not know to put your computer like, and in a hotel, there's a desk. Move back. Like, why are you so close to the screen?
Yeah, it's strange to me because obviously this was a last minute thing. So I know they didn't have the same kind of camera setup that they gave for like, say like the Vanderpump Rules at Beverly Hills reunion. They delivered the whole setup to the house.
Oh my God, you know, remember it was,
Yeah, but like, it looked like they didn't even give Brandy a ring light. Like they could have dropped it off at her hotel room and she could have had some lighting. It was rough. So this reunion, it was frustrating to me. First off, we have a lot of Carrie. And so Carrie reveals that after the season finished filming, she and Eduardo kind of, you know, sat down and had a heart to heart about their relationship. And they've decided that they are going their separate ways and getting a divorce. And I'm glad that we have this information because we obviously could tell that things were not great in her marriage during the season. But it's frustrating to me because all of a sudden she kind of has this get out of jail free card for everything that happened during the season. Because she's like, well, you know, Andy, I was in a really bad place with my marriage and all of this stuff. No. And so, yeah, I was drinking a lot and I wasn't handling it well. And like, I'm not saying that's not true, but it feels like we can't just... You don't just get to sweep all of your behavior for the season under the rug because you were in a bad place. Like, okay, so you were in a bad place. Let's start there. Why did you take it out on Tiffany? Why did you take it out on Deandra? Like, let's get into it a little deeper than just like, yeah, you know, I was really upset. So like, yeah, that's what happened.
No. And not one time during the season when she was having these outbursts, was she like, you know what, girls, like, I don't want to get into it, but I am acting out a little bit. I'm drinking more. I've noticed because like, I'm going through stuff with my marriage. Hello. I know easier said than done, but like you can give some people a heads up as to like literally why. And a few times she brought up like her children. And I think that she could have also just been open and said like, we're going through some stuff, but because at that point in the moment, maybe people would have forgiven her. But yeah, you can use the drinking as an excuse, but not your destructive behavior. No, sorry.
Well, and it was interesting that it seemed like she and Eduardo, or maybe just her, she made a very clear decision that she wasn't going to talk about her marriage problems on the season. That wasn't something that she ever brought up. You know, we got like little glimpses of that it wasn't going great, but she was never talking about it. But she seemed like she had no problem talking about her issues with her daughters and Olivia's mental health. And so, I mean, I hope that she got Olivia's permission to talk about that on the show. I don't know, but it feels like if you're going to be really open about this one really hard thing, then it feels kind of like unfair that you just don't have to talk about your marriage at all. It's like, because there are some people on these shows where they just kind of don't talk about anything and don't share very much at all. And that's its own problem. But when you are picking and choosing, and it seems like it's like you would rather put your daughter's stuff out in the open than your own, that is kind of tough to me. And it's like, no, talk about your own problems.
Yeah. And she did say, though, that she's, you know, she's not drinking as much now. She is a little nervous, but she knows she can do like she has to start making her own money and actually like work. She talked about their finances a little bit and mentioned a prenup and whatever, but I don't really know what's going on with that. But even Andy was like, you can do it. You're good.
But let's keep it 100. I hope making her money goes well, but it better not be a Bravo paycheck after this season. You know, come on. Oh.
You want, like, AKA, you want her to be like off the show.
Yeah. I mean, doesn't every, like,
I mean, yeah.
I think Dallas is in need of a lot of work.
That would be so, like,
I think Dallas is in need of a lot of some rehab itself. And I think that Carrie needs to go along with a couple other people. We can talk about that more next week.
It is. But, yeah. Because Tiffany's here, so it's really great. But honestly, people have been talking about like just getting rid of Dallas in general. But yeah, we don't want Tiffany to go anywhere.
I don't think they will, but yeah. So okay, let's get into Tiffany, and specifically this episode, we have a lot of Tiffany and Cameron back and forth. And I think this is hard because I'm a little frustrated with the way that Andy kind of handles things, because I think he has a habit of kind of treating each individual thing like it's everything is the same importance, or like he assigns the same weight to everything. Mm-hmm. So it's like he doesn't really push back. So like, okay, they're talking about, you know, Tiffany correcting Cameron's words and, you know, stuff like this, that, okay, that's a normal thing for housewives to be like arguing about, that it's like frustrating. But then Cameron is accusing Tiffany of being racist against Asian people because she is making these TikToks based on real experiences she's had with her mother. And to me, that's a situation where Andy should be pushing back on that. Like, Andy doesn't have to stay totally neutral. So for when something like that is happening, like, it's to me, like, that's pretty upsetting that Cameron is like saying these things to Tiffany. And for Andy to just kind of be like, okay, Tiffany, what do you think about that? It's like, I wish he would do a little better in kind of holding people accountable. And I think some of the stuff that Cameron was saying this reunion was kind of really wild and problematic. And it's like, girl, please.
I think you're right in this sense that Andy could say something. However, I think he was honestly backing off and knowing that Tiffany could very well handle the situation in which she did. And also maybe letting Cameron put her foot in her mouth even more. I honestly, that's how I felt about that, where he was like, "There, I'm going to let this one go because like one's going to handle it and one's making it worse for herself." So
totally. I mean, I think you're right. I think Tiffany can hold her own. And I think, you know, Cameron obviously can make herself look bad, but I think it's just like, if you're focusing on being an ally in that situation, mm-hmm. it's like, it shouldn't be all on Tiffany when, you know, Tiffany can hold her own when it's like when they're talking about how Cameron needs grammar lessons. Like, I love to see that. And I think it's tough because it's like there are certain situations in the season where I want to see Tiffany kind of, you know, under pressure. Like, I want them to be able to have like a normal back and forth. But because there's this other stuff happening with the racial dynamics and all of that, it makes it hard to enjoy the petty stuff because it's like, damn, like, I just want to see them like go back and forth and fight and, you know, have like housewife drama. But meanwhile, we have to have like Cameron like completely misunderstanding what racism is.
Right. But we'll go back to that, but when Cameron brought out her like quote unquote receipts, like color code and everything, I was like, girl, it's like annoying when that happens because it's like, you don't actually have any problems with these people. You're just like now looking. That's why that whole thing with the TikTok, I cringe so hard when she goes, you know, yeah, I do want to hear more about that. Let's hear more about that. And I was like, do you really? And Tiffany, she is, oh my God, when her sitting there so like confident and like can say anything back to Cameron. I was like, oh my God, this is such great energy. But so she did. And then she was like, yeah, well, people reach out to me. And Tiffany was like, they did. People reach out to you. They did. Like, just like that. Right. Oh my God, it's so good.
I think. And then Tiffany tweeted something, which I totally agree with, that she's like, what's the point of receipts if this is all stuff that I'm very willing to admit that I said or tweeted or did or posted? Like, Cameron seems like she has this idea that she has these like golden ticket items of evidence that are gonna like ruin Tiffany. And Tiffany's like, yeah, I corrected your grammar. Like, maybe that was kind of an asshole thing to do, but like, you've been an asshole to me with plenty of other stuff. Like, it's not like, I feel like Tiffany kind of has this like higher expectation on her, which is a little unfair. And that's a whole other angle of like, you know, she's a doctor and she's smart. And like, they kind of resent her for being, you know, educated and smart and whatever. But then at the same time, they also like expect her to be more perfect because she's a doctor and smart and whatever. And it's like, okay, which is it? But also both are bad.
Right. And then Cameron also apologized. So they were going back and forth with Cheats for a while. Even Andy was like, Tiffany, this was kind of mean. Like, it was kind of mean. But like, but she, and then Tiffany was like, okay, I'm sorry. But then Cameron tweeted a picture of her like promoting Sparkle dog food, and she would rather eat Sparkle treats over chicken feet. So she apologized to Tiffany. And then Andy was like, do you accept? And Tiffany goes, no, I don't know, accept that. We're not done here. And I kind of like that, because she was like, basically, they need to continue that conversation instead of sweeping it under the rug. Like, yes, that wasn't nice.
I agree. And to be honest, so they're doing a two-part reunion. Great. We don't need three. All of this stuff with Tiffany, and we haven't heard from Brandy basically at all yet. And Cameron,
or Stephanie.
That to me is the crux of the conflict this season. So I'm glad they're not done, because I think it does deserve the time. And I think Tiffany, like you said, is, you know, very capable of, you know, holding her own on this reunion stage. And I think that she deserves kind of the time and, you know, opportunity to do that. And so I'm excited to see next week, because I think it's going to be really interesting. Also, I need to hear about what's going on with Brandy and Brian. And we basically, they saved all the Brandy shit for episode two, which is fine, but you know.
Yeah. And also, she hasn't posted like nothing after that video was like, after the video of him allegedly cheating, nothing has been said.
Did you see Leanne posted some texts between her and Brandy, because in the preview for part two of the reunion, they're saying that somebody sent this video of Brian dancing with another woman to Brandy's daughter. And in the preview, they're like, oh, who would do that? And you hear the name Leanne. And so I guess Leanne saw this and inferred that Brandy is saying that Leanne sent this video. And so Leanne texted Brandy and was like, hi, I am out of this game. This wasn't me. Please just like stop using my name, whatever. Which is funny, because of course, like, Leanne is totally not above like still shit talking these women on her social media. So it's like, I don't know. I don't necessarily, but Brandy says in the text that she knows who it was. It wasn't Leanne, and that she didn't say that. So we'll see. I don't know.
That I mean, that is kind of mess up if like Leanne, as much as I dislike her and like what she's nasty, if she didn't do that, that is annoying to be like brought into that. And she's like, really? Like, that's leave my name out.
Leanne, again, just like we were saying with Cameron, like, Leanne can be messy and nasty all on her own. So you don't need to accuse her of things that she didn't do.
Totally. Not right as this conversation with Tiffany and Cameron was, like everything Cameron was saying and trying to be above that. That was so hard to watch. Like, it really was. I can't find the words to explain her, how she was saying it and what, like, she went in thinking she was right. I'm going to nail this. And it just made her look like worse. There's nothing worse than that, but she did look amazing. Cameron looks amazing.
I think all four of them that are there in person look really good.
Yes.
In different ways. In different ways. They're not all dressed for the same event, but they all look really nice while they're there.
That's actually such a good point.
It is time. It is more than time for the Grab the Skinny Pop moment of the day. Endless Entertainment calls for endless popcorn. And luckily, every kernel of Skinny Pop is so light, crunchy, and delicious that we love to eat it by the handful or even the bagful. I'll just get right into it. My grab the skinny pot moment is when Tiffany Moon told Cameron to unfollow her if she doesn't want to see the TikToks. If she's so offended by the TikToks, just unfollow me. I thought that was the perfect comeback. That's all you need to say in that situation. If you don't like what I'm posting on social media, there's an easy way to fix it.
And to the point, love that. Great, Dylan. I love that. Mine, I'm going with Jersey. My skinny pot moment is that beautiful scene of Teresa and Joe in the garage and him helping her clean. Him really just asking about Louie and like him invested because no one wants to see her happier than her brother. And the two of them, their dynamic has changed over the years completely. Mm-hmm. They are in such a good place. She's like, Joey, I'm going to kick your ass. But
they've come such a long way.
Yes, they really have. But I'm excited to see. I hope their relationship is like as beautiful in real life as they're making it out to be in the show, which I think it is. No, I do believe that it is. But so that was my grab the skinny pot moment because I love any Gorga Judice scene.
Absolutely. Well, those are today's Grab the Skinny Pop moments. Of course, you can grab Skinny Pop yourself at retailers nationwide or go to the Shop Now page on skinnypop.com. And without further ado, stay tuned for our interview with Lala Kent. It's going to be a good one, so don't go anywhere.
Calling all my honeys. Support for today's episode comes from Honeylove. Whether you're a bride, a wedding guest, or simply seeking everyday smoothing, Honeylove is the go-to for all things shapewear. Honeylove has revolutionized compression technology so you no longer have to feel like you're suffocating while wearing effective shapewear. For a limited time only, you can get Honeylove on sale. Get 20% off your entire order with our exclusive link, honeylove.com/MIA. Support our show and check them out at honeylove.com/MIA. When talking about shapewear, Honeylove's best-selling Superpower Short is the go-to. It has targeted compression technology that distinguishes between areas where you want more support and areas where you need less compression. Their Signature X targets and sculpts your midsection without squeezing your natural curves. It's designed to work with your body, not against it. The Superpower Short is helping ladies everywhere sculpt and smooth from stomach to thigh by offering just the perfect amount of compression. You won't have to worry about it rolling down, which is unheard of in shapewear, thanks to flexible boning that's hidden in the side seams. This piece is also a booty lifter. Boost bands on the back of the thigh give your bottom an amazing shape. Treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/MIA. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off honeylove.com/MIA. After you purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. Shape your life with Honeylove.
Splash Refreshers are the delicious zero-calorie beverage I'm reaching for again and again when I'm feeling thirsty for something flavorful. I believe in the three beverage rotation on my desk at all times. One for caffeinating, one for hydrating, and one for fun. But Splash spices it up by putting the fun and hydration in one. I don't have to dread my 8 cups of water a day. I just drink Splash and like it. Lately, my go-to office beverage has been the Splash Wild Berry flavor. It's so nice to just put a few in the fridge at the beginning of the week, grab one whenever you want something nice and refreshing. It's just the right amount of flavor, just the right amount of sweetness. You know the vibes. When you want something refreshing, when you want something hydrating, Splash is the perfect thing to reach for. It perfectly blends refreshing fruit flavors with just a little bit of sweetness, all with zero sugar and zero calories. And it's available in 5 craveable flavors. Wild Berry, that's my favorite, Acai Grape, Pineapple Mango, Lemon, and Mandarin. In orange. It's there to satisfy your need for hydration with a little flavor. Consider your hydrated self thriving. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger.
Everyone, we are so excited to be joined by an amazing guest right now. She, of course, is the star of Vanderpump Rules, also an actress, a new mother, Lala Kent. Welcome. Hello.
Thank you guys for having me. I'm so happy that I'm on a podcast called Mention It All.
Let me tell
you.
We're
happy to have you.
In this book, you kind of did. You kind of went there.
I know. And can I tell you, after it was like done and it was on and popping, I had the most anxiety ever. And I was like, what have I done?
I have to say, like we just talked, I've read the whole thing. It's amazing. But as you talked about who you talked about, it wasn't like bashing, you know, like you, it was that time in your life that was happening. So
right.
it all, that, you know,
Yes. And that I wanted to keep every story that had to do with my cast members where we went. I went back in time and was trying to create like the headspace that I was in for people to understand. And it's just crazy because when I would go back and think about how I felt about each person way back when, I'm like, I couldn't even imagine feeling that way or talking to them that way. You know?
Yeah.
Like, they're my dearest friends now.
Yeah, it's funny, especially with your relationships with, you know, Katie and Stassi, like, thinking about kind of what we saw you guys go through on the show a few seasons back, you know, your first couple seasons on the show, it really is wild how far you've come in a lot of those relationships. And
yes,
it seems like how genuinely you, on both sides, you've been able to move forward. And I don't know. It feels like growth. It's nice to see.
Totally growth. And I finally have the history that, like, when I first came on to the show and they would all talk about, well, we've known each other, we have history. It's like, mm-hmm. we now have that history. And now when new people come on the show, I'm saying the same thing that was said to me.
Yeah. You had that new girl hazing going on, but you gave it right back. So before we get into it, we want to say congratulations on your beautiful baby girl, Ocean. But how have these first few weeks of motherhood been going? You have that new mother glow for sure.
Why? Yeah. Maybe it's like, get them all a highlighter. Get your plug, girl. Get your plug. It's been like the best 4 weeks of my entire life. I'm on cloud nine. I don't care about anything except, you know, my baby and my family. And it's just been absolutely perfect.
We are so glad to hear that. We saw Jax and Brittany welcomed their baby just a few days ago. We have Sheena due any day now. Are there any Pump Rules play dates on the calendar yet, or just kind of enjoying your time to yourself?
So Ocean and Hartford met last week for the first time, and it was so cute. But again, like, it's not like they do anything, but us as their mom, like, even the slightest little head turn, you're like, oh my god, he knows that that's her best friend. So it was like they were fixated on each other, and to me it's like, oh, they know that they're both babies, but I'm sure it was just like a blurry mess for both of them with their eyes trying to adjust to, you know, life.
That's so cute. Your baby's younger than Hartford, but when Stassi posts pictures and her captions of her, it's the funniest thing. I feel like Hartford's like our age. She's like, gives those looks, and it's hilarious.
The second that Hartford came into the world, she was giving those judgy eyes, and I was obsessed. I'm like, you are so meant to be in this like group, and Stassi is your mom, 100%. Amazing.
What was it like last summer when everyone, you know, kind of one by one was announcing that they were expecting? What was it like for you finding out that so many people that you have been, you know, kind of along with for this ride with for years were going to be doing motherhood at the same time?
I know. Wasn't that strange? It was like the clown car of like pregnancy announcements. You know, it was like, here comes another one. It was like almost a little surreal because we had spoken about getting pregnant together. Just like, it would be fun because then we don't have to go out and make friends with the moms of other kids just for our kids. Like, mm-hmm. we can force them to be friends with each other. And then it happened where we were all pregnant. It was all, like, one after the other.
Yeah.
And it was like, this is so exciting, even though like this is something you see on TV. Weird that we
wait. Yeah, right.
When I say that, I'm like, it's like what you see on TV. Oh wait, that is a little weird, but like it, on a sitcom or something.
Right.
And it's not easy to get pregnant. I feel really fortunate that we, you know, Sheena struggled with her miscarriage and my heart just broke for her. And I cannot even imagine. I'm so happy for her now that she has her little rainbow baby. But with Stassi and Brittany, when it was like her, then me, then Brittany, I was like, you can't make this shit up. And this is like the best day ever. And I'm so grateful that none of us really struggled like women who go years without being mm-hmm. able to get pregnant or know why they can't get pregnant.
Right. Well, speaking of motherhood, you write about your relationship as a bonus mom to Randall's daughters and how important that navigating that dynamic has always been to both of you. So yeah. How did mm-hmm. those experiences help prepare you for a child?
You know, I wish that being a stepmom prepared me to be a biological mom. It did not, because being a stepmom for me, I don't know how, I can't speak for other stepmoms' experiences. Mm-hmm. But for me, it was like, there's a line. Of course, I put them in check when like they don't clean up after themselves or like they need to go and do homework. But I'm not the disciplinarian. There's a line, you know, I'm not their mom. So it's two different experiences and they're both amazing. But I can't even explain the feeling of becoming a mom to my daughter. I don't think anything could have prepared me for that.
Totally. Okay, so one of the things that I liked most about the book is finally getting a little more backstory on who is Lauren, how did Lauren become Lala, what's going on there. What was it like kind of finally getting to tell a little bit more backstory? Were you nervous about that? Were you excited about that? Is that something you've always kind of wanted to share more of, like how you came to be this person that we all know?
I think it was exciting when I started. And then when I realized like, oh, this is like going to be a book that mm-hmm. you can go and buy, that is terrifying. And I didn't sit down and write this book because I thought that my stories were that interesting. For me, it was like, I had all of this stuff happen in Utah that kind of shaped who I was. And I thought that I was a shaped person until I was on Vanderpump Rules and it was a new set of issues and it was all displayed on television for people to see. And I almost felt like I had like a scarlet letter on me of like, you know, I went into season 5 and everyone had these stories about me and my, you know, my man. And I carried all of the name calling and the shaming with me up until recently. And I felt like I always had to defend myself. So for me, this book, when I sat down and wrote it, was a release and a purge. And it was something where, you know, it's okay to have things in your life that are defining moments. But for me, the defining moments were what I was living with on a day-to-day basis. And it was exhausting for me. Mm-hmm. So now I've put it out there how it happened and what it was like. And now I'm done with it. We're not bringing it up anymore. I'm not going to defend myself with these things. You know, yeah. I'm okay that these things happened and I'm not ashamed anymore.
Yeah. I have to say, though, that I completely agree with you. While reading it, you really hear your voice, you know, and it's not, it was like actual stories that happened to you. And like, I'm telling you, I was talking about it with Dylan this morning, and you remember like those scenes of you know, and your outburst, because that's really what was happening, but you explain them and what was really happening and your side, and it really does, you know, change a little bit. Obviously you could see what was going on in the show, but like it really like hears your side of the story and like what you were going through, and it's really impressive.
Well, thank you so much. And I never want anything to come off as like, this is my excuse for my behavior, mm-hmm. but it's a fact. This is what happened and why I behaved that way. And I'm not trying to make it okay. I'm just trying to give you some perspective on, you know, we're not perfect. And I hope anyone who reads it can walk away being a little less hard on themselves. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I thought it was nice to finally kind of get your full, you know, side of the story when it comes to season 4 and season 5, kind of all of the stuff that was being said about you and, you know, both stuff that wasn't true and stuff that you, for whatever reason that you talk about in the book, maybe couldn't talk about, couldn't be honest about in the moment. What was it like just kind of dealing with for all those years, not being able to talk about certain stuff? And, you know, now that you have that release, like just that feeling of being free.
Oh my gosh, it was torture, because I'm an open book and I want to talk, I want to mention it all. I'm not afraid of people being upset or me making them feel uncomfortable. I'm okay with people having a negative opinion about me when I'm on the show. And it was almost like, I was living to protect a person I cared deeply about. And more importantly, his two kids. And that was so much pressure. I started drinking heavily just to keep up with all of the lies and be okay with it. It was a lot of pressure for me. And I did break. I only made it halfway through season 5 before it was like, I can't do this. This is too much. Like, I need cards and like a map of how to keep up with everything.
I can't imagine like how that must have been. Obviously, we're viewers and we need the entertainment, but also realizing at the same time it's your guys' real life. That
right. And you know what though? That's kind of how it is real life. But in order for me to keep my sanity, I have to watch it and go, well, I made awesome TV today, I guess. And then go home and put that in a completely different category. Because even though it's real, we would go insane if we took that with us everywhere we went. And that was something that I had to work very hard to conquer, to like be okay with leaving that behind and then creating this other type of life when I get home, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I loved reading about in season 5, like you said, when you kind of had that breaking point and needed to take a step back, and then you decided to go back for the reunion. And I loved you talking about your parents kind of talking you through that time, and when your dad told you to go and give them Lala at the reunion. I loved hearing about kind of your relationship with your parents and how it seems like they have always been, you know, supportive of you, but not afraid to tell you what you need to hear.
Yeah, I could not have like handpicked better parents. They were always very much, they still are. I mean, my dad above, I can feel him as my guardian angel now, but I just felt like nothing was ever off limits. I could talk to them about everything, and honesty was always key, but it was always unconditional love and support. And I feel like that's why I could go out into the world and face it, as scary as it is, because I could come home to a safe place and, you know, have them build me back up for the next day. So, and my mom and dad never watched the show. I mean, my mom still to this day has not seen an episode of Vanderpump Rules, which is kind of nice. So when my dad said that to me, like, go do that thing that you do, you say it, and like, oh my gosh, you do listen to me.
That's so funny and very genuine. But so we do love seeing you and Katie on the first season of Real Houses of Salt Lake City. Shout out Utah. How did it make you feel to see your hometown represented on Bravo?
I loved it. I loved that, because I didn't grow up in the Mormon church, nor did I have anybody super close to me. So, you know, I knew, it sounds so horrible that I'm like, nor was anyone that was close to me when my dad's entire side of the family was Mormon. But it's true. No one that was close to me was Mormon, because Mormons don't get close to little heathens like me. So I was shook by how much they kind of exposed the Mormon church.
Yeah.
And I'm sure the Mormon church was thrilled about the Real Housewives. I'm sure they are shitting bricks. But the season was fantastic. And the fact that we got to film with them was so much fun. And it was like I was going to a high school reunion at Jen Shaw's party, because it was like, oh my gosh, we went to school together. We used to kick it at, you know, Club Dove, which was Wendy's. That's like where we went to hang out.
Oh my God.
You know, so it was like, I didn't even need to go to my 10-year high school reunion, because it's like happening right now at a chicer place.
One of my best friends is from Salt Lake, and she always talks about how small of a town it is, and that, you know, just like everybody knows somebody who went to high school with them, or like your dad is friends with their parent. Like, it's funny to kind of have all those connections and to kind of fit right into that world.
It is, but I kind of love it. Like, I love the fact, and I didn't appreciate growing up there until I was gone and away from it. But it's like, I love knowing my neighbors, and I love that kids are still walking home from school. You know, it's a very happy and healthy place to raise a family, because it's so family oriented and driven.
Right. Right.
Did you give any of them advice when you met them on kind of this whole journey of doing reality TV?
Yes. I told them to come up with their alter egos. Mine is Lala. And I said, and every time you get onto social media or you start filming, that alter ego is your Teflon, where, because people are going to be mean, but your job at this point is to be open and honest. And mm-hmm. when you leave, just know this is entertainment for people. So even though it is your real life, learn how to separate yourself, because it is not healthy if you take that shit home with you.
Right. Well, there's some things that happened recently that are very real life. And you were at a party there recently. So I'm assuming you heard about what's been going on with Miss Jen Shah. What are your thoughts?
I mean, I want to say
We all feel the same way. Yeah.
Innocent until proven guilty. But then I read that you're like scamming old people and I'm like, oh my God.
I feel like the fact that it's like elders is really what's getting to people. They're like, oh, yes. If you were scamming anyone else, it'd be fine. But you know what? It's old people. So that's mean.
Scam the millennials. You know, they need something real to happen to them. Everyone's a little too sensitive. But no, again, she allegedly is scamming people. Still shook.
Shook is the perfect word. I think it's
even more shook that she's like hashtagging like unarrested.
Yeah.
You are like meant for reality TV. Keep it coming.
No denying that. So speaking of, you know, people on reality TV, your relationship with Lisa Vanderpump is really interesting. In the book, I had no idea that you had worked at Sir briefly before you were ever even on the show. And then Lisa kind of invited you back and asked if you wanted to be a hostess and that you might get to appear on the show. It seems like Lisa has always been kind of in your corner, maybe not 100% of the time, but she's kind of stuck up for you. How's your relationship with Lisa these days? Do you talk to her very much, or is it, you know, not as close? Yeah.
No, and you know what? I love that you said that she's always been in my corner, because that's how I felt. And I feel like even when she's brutally honest with me, she is taking, you know, the time and the energy to invest into someone who I believe, which is me, who she cares about. I have always felt that she cares about me. So I'm forever grateful for her. And even now, you know, she'll call me and check up on Ocean, and we've FaceTimed a lot. I have all the love in the world for Lisa Vanderpump and her family.
Me too.
Yeah.
Barry's like, no, yo, same.
Yes, yes. Like, very much so. Are you looking forward to getting back to Vanderpump Rules at some point?
Yes. Honey, mic me up, find my lighting, and put someone in front of me to drag. I need it all.
Oh my God, I'm so happy that you're still willing to like drag somebody, even mother and all. You know, we need the drama.
You know, I thought that getting sober would take the crazy out of me, but it's in my veins and I'm with it. You know, like nothing can change my DNA. So it is what it is.
Who from the Pump Rules crew, with pandemic and, you know, not filming and everything, who have you kept up with the most? Who's kind of been by your side the whole time?
Well, I see Brittany and Katie and Stassi the most. And Katie and I would see each other a lot, because during my pregnancy, I would go there to her house and we would walk around the neighborhood like every single day. And then Wednesdays were for watching Housewives of Salt Lake. So she's the one that was really by my side during my pregnancy, and just to catch up with on all of our housewife shit. Because Stassi had just given birth.
Right.
And Brittany had a really hard pregnancy. My baby's screaming. My mom's sitting here like this watching. I'm like, can you tend to my screaming?
Shout out to your mom to give you like the best advice throughout your book.
Like, wake up, John. You sent the night nurse home so because you could handle it. And now you're like lurking, not even listening to what's happening upstairs.
And also your weekend trips to LA to make you feel better. Like, I loved that so much. so much.
I know. How cute is my mom? She just like really was a rock star for me. When I was bullied in school, she was like, "You're in fourth grade. Let's get your highlights and some fake nails and feel better, girl."
I kind of like related to that because I got highlights for the first time in sixth grade. And then like we went to a pool party and I wasn't allowed in the pool. I like took it very seriously.
You're like, my highlights could turn green.
Yeah, totally. It scars you.
How is your relationship with James these days? Because I felt like during season eight, you guys kind of came to a really nice point where it seemed like you had some, you know, respectful moments with each other. And I loved seeing that because your friendship was so iconic.
We were iconic, right? Name a more iconic duo than James Kennedy and Lala. Like, we fucked shit up back in the day. You know, I'm really proud of him because he was spiraling and I could so relate to that. And he just really pulled it together. And he still goes out and DJs a killer show and he's like not intoxicated, which that's hard. As someone who knows what it's like to get drunk in order to like be around people that you don't know and still try to like enjoy yourself and have fun, the fact he can do his job still and kill it, and he remembers it. I'm really proud of him and I'm happy that we are at a good place and we're friends. I mean, he came to Randall's birthday party. I mean, I think he might be closer to Randall than he is to me.
Love to see that. Who would have thought?
Closer to Randall than they are to me now. I'm like, why are you hijacking all my friends? What is this?
You know, I feel like as you get older and, you know, everyone around you is getting more mature, it's just like shit like that doesn't matter as much. You're just like, yeah, come to the party. Who cares?
Come to the party. Like, you're a human. I'm a human. You know, at some point, especially when you've had a pandemic and no one's left the house, they're like, I will go to my worst enemy's birthday party.
Yes.
This apartment building.
Yeah.
You're like, I will stand 6 feet away and enjoy myself.
Yeah, I just need like another human there. Doesn't matter who it is, just like presence. But it's always sad to me, like you said, back in the day, like it was a few years ago. But to know that like won't happen again is sad to me. You know what I mean? Because there can still be drama and like friendships and a TV show, but it what we had isn't. It happened, you know?
We'll always have the memories.
Sad. Yeah.
I know. It's so sad. I think about that all the time. I shouldn't live in the past, but I'm like, damn, I really wish I definitely enjoyed myself, but there are so many things like that. Being at that, in the Olympic apartment where Stassi lived before me, it's like, you know, I was so eager to just like, quote unquote, make it to get the hell out of there. And I should have just like, enjoyed it, you know? Like, I should have enjoyed going to Ralph's and getting a bag of frozen fruit because I was gonna make smoothies and be happy, and instead I ended up putting vodka with water and muddling it into that to add flavor.
That apartment, by the way, which you refer to as the Ho Palace in the book, which I really
oh my enjoyed. God,
Ho Palace.
I said to Dylan, so I'm Watch What Happens Live when they have like the word of the night, and like if you take a shot, if we did that with how many times you said the word ho just in chapter one, I wanted to make it a game.
Can I tell you, when I was going back through and reading, I was like, am I using this word too much? And I'm like,
no,
you can never use the word ho.
Yeah. Should have used, it more.
For literary effect. I think it came through. Well, you, this is the Mention It All podcast, Lala. You certainly mentioned it all in the book. I was definitely, you know, I don't want to say surprised, but I was, you know, excited to see how much, you know, good details and stuff were in the book. I think people will really enjoy it if they like watching Vanderpump Rules. Definite recommend. And I'm so glad we got to talk to you about it.
I'm so glad you guys had me on your podcast. Thank you so much. And thank you for supporting my book.
Of course.
Remind everyone what it's called, where they can get it, all that good stuff.
You can get my book, Give Them Lala. It is available now. You can get it in stores at Barnes & Noble, Target, or you can get it online at like Amazon. You know, Google that shit and that's all where you order.
All the book places.
All the book places. And guys, it is very good cover to cover. I highly recommend.
And it's an easy read, right?
Yes.
It is an easy definitely. Read. Yeah, because it like captures you.
We've taken up reading books and first on the list is Give Them Lala.
It's taken up reading books.
Oh my God. Dylan, did you know it said, could you see it this whole time?
I didn't realize the hoodie said I've taken up reading books. That's genius.
Her sweatshirt says I've taken up reading books.
When the merch comes out, I'm sending you this. So
please.
Please do.
We'll do a merch swap. We'll send you some of ours.
Yeah.
I love that. Okay. Thank you so much for having me, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks everyone for listening. Don't forget to rate, review, follow us on Apple, follow us on Spotify, wherever you listen, and just be cool.
Don't be all like uncool.
Mention It All is produced by Sean Kilby and Jorge Morales Pico. Editing by Sean Kilby. Social media by Dylan Hafer. Guest booking by Nicole Pellegrino. Be sure to follow at Bravo by Betches on Instagram and Twitter.
Thank you to our sponsor, Splash Refresher. Meet the water beverage that loves self-care as much as you do. Just because you have to hydrate doesn't mean it has to be tasteless. Splash Refresher makes hydration deliciously easy. Splash perfectly blends refreshing fruit flavors with just a little bit of sweetness, all with zero sugar and zero calories. I am going to go grab myself a wild berry splash now that I am done recording, and you should too. Consider your hydrated self thriving. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger.
Betches.